has been and always will be there when we need him. He shows us favor when we least deserve it. He shows us love when we are unlovable. Our God is an awesome God. Amen. But you know, when the rubber meets the road in our walk, we need to ask ourselves, where do we stand in our faith in the Lord? If we don't ask ourselves that question, then we should. It's so important that we know where we stand with the Lord. Will we run when things get tough? Look at Peter in Matthew 26, verse 75. He denied the Lord multiple times to keep from being persecuted. Will we stand up, or will we fail to be strong when a test comes? Psalm 84, verse 5 says, "Blessed is the person whose strength is in you." And, you know, I believe it's safe to say that with all the calls for God's people to step up that we're hearing from everyone, the days of comfortable Christianity, especially in America, are over. No longer can we just say that we believe his word or believe his promises. What would it take to shake your faith? That's why I titled this message, Faith is Essential Today. Faith is essential today. So when God first started to talk to me about this, I tried over and over to hear for something else. I didn't like the way it started. I mean, just picture me with my fingers in my ears, la 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 la, I don't want to do that. But it just kept coming up, and it just kept coming up, and it all began with this scripture in John 16:33. Jesus said, "In the world, you will have tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world." In fact, Pastor gave that scripture at the end of service last week. So when we hear that scripture in John, what do we immediately focus on? Is it the tribulation that we will have to face? Or that he's overcome the world? Is there anything about that verse that starts to shake your faith? I believe that God is saying it's time to come to grips with this. Until a couple of years ago, I felt that it was only our missionaries who knew what tribulation was for their faith because of, you know, the places that they've chosen to do God's work. But that isn't the case any longer. I'm sure I don't have to remind everyone what the last few years were like. I won't forget it. And trust me, they're not going to give up either. Coming against churches, limiting church service attendance while turning a blind eye to the lines at Walmart and Home Depot. I did not want to go here. I tried everything to come up with a different message. And while I was fighting with this, pastor comes up to me and says, "God told me you've got a message." I wanted to say, "No!" But I would have been lying, and so I just kept changing the subject. Till he finally caught on. And I realized, I don't like to shake people or rock their foundations, but I do believe God does. And the question remains, what do you believe really? Where is your strength? Can God lift you out of out of your comfort zone and rely that you are strong enough to be able to handle it. I'm not an end time theorist, and this is not a doomsday or an Armageddon message, but there are people out there who believe that we are in the end times. Here's what the Bible says in Matthew 24, verse 36. But about that day and hour, no one knows. Not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father alone. So, you know, when people talk about end times, I try to stay out of that and make any comments. But, you know, sure, if you take a look at the way things are, it sure looks like it. But certainly in the time that we are in, the days of confessing our faith without works is over. I believe God is saying it's time to show our faith with works. And I'm not saying that I've got that all figured out. I'm sure that's going to mean different things for different people. But, you know, when you move in faith and you see God respond, I mean, how encouraging is that? It tells us that we're in agreement with God. I want to say again, you know, what has been said from this pulpit many, many, many times over the years is that God will do his part if we're willing to do ours. Sometimes we have to move first. Do you have the faith to believe in him? The next scripture God gave me was James 1:12. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial. Say, Joe, I come to church on Sunday to be encouraged. What are you doing? It's not just people under attack. The churches are under attack as well. Why the churches? Because they tell the truth. Not as the church sees it, lest there be any misunderstanding, but they tell the truth as it is written in the Word of God. At least they should be. And that's the only truth that matters. Problem is, for most people, the truth is hard to hear. But that doesn't make the truth any less true. And who gets targeted first in the church? Pastors. I recently read a poll in Barna.com, Barna.com, that says 42% of pastors, U.S. pastors, have thought about quitting full-time ministry in the past year. And that's up 13% since last year. What are the reasons? 56% say immense stress on the job. Maybe the church does little to support him or her when the church is under attack. 38% say the political landscape. And it's more than just division, it's division to the extreme now. 6% say they have experienced a personal crisis of faith. What? Can a pastor's faith get rocked? And I'm not saying that's the issue here. The point is, what are the churches doing to support their pastors? We have to remember that pastors are people too. They have feelings, they have emotions. Pastors are people too. So when the church gets attacked, they need to be supported. And we are called to be an example of faith to each other and our pastors. Amen? Are we not a family? How about this question? Is the truth so hard to speak, or is it more difficult to hear? I am so grateful that we preach a full and truthful gospel here. It's not always going to raise the rafters with cheers, because the truth exposes the areas we need to work on. And I believe that's why there's compromise in the churches. Philippians 2, verses 3 through 8. I'm going to put up what the Word of God says, but just imagine if you read it this way. Do everything from selfish ambition and conceit, counting yourself more significant than others. Let each of you look only to his own interest. Have this among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who came to earth as royalty, demanding the treatment he rightly deserved. That's not what it says, right? What I read is heresy and contrary to the gospel. And you won't hear that junk here. It's compromise. But this does seem to be the common thought out in the world. Me, 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 me. The church confronts this thinking, and people don't like it. But thank God for his son Jesus Christ for bringing the truth that sets us absolutely free. That's what it says in John 8:36. You really will be free. Now, I know this verse is talking about sin, but we can be set free from the lies too. Because of the church and the Word of God delivered from the pulpits, we receive by faith a truth that makes our foundation and our walk with the Lord unshakable. And we see the world for what it is. And we can be grateful that we have been chosen to see him. As it says in Galatians 1, 15 and 16, and I chose the Amplified version. It says, but when God, who had chosen me and set me apart before I was born and called me through his grace, was pleased to reveal his son in me. And because of him, the direction we need to go to accomplish the things that God has put us here to accomplish is revealed. Thank you, Jesus. We just need to submit to the work of God for our lives. And again, sometimes that means we move first. We ask God to help hear his voice, like the Apostle Paul did. But you know, we will go through some things, though. Acts 9:16. Paul had Jesus himself tell him that that he would have to suffer for Christ's name. Now, we may not all have to suffer, but to believe that we will never go through some things for his name's sake is not scriptural. We need faith. Acts 14:22, Paul and Barnabas were strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith and saying, it is through many tribulations that we must enter the kingdom of God. If we go back a couple of verses to Acts 14:19, it says, Paul was stoned and left for dead. But in verse 20, it says he got up. Get up. Now here he is in verse 22, encouraging the disciples with him, saying that it's worth it. That the tribulations they were to go through would glorify God. And I'm sure we all have things that we've gone through that we wonder why. What's the purpose in this? Well, do you think that Paul getting up after walking after being stoned and left for dead to give comfort to the others around him encouraged them of the power of his faith in Jesus Christ? I bet it did. I guarantee you it would have gotten my attention. But for all the scriptures there are about trials and tribulations, there are even more about the promises of God. when I saw that this is where God was going with this, after the start that I had, I realized, okay, I can submit to the work here. So I wrote down 12 promises of God. I know there's many, many more, but these were the ones that I thought really touched a nerve with me. And you know what? These should be written on our heart, especially now. The first one, God's promise never fails. Joshua 21, verse 45. Says, not one of the good promises which the Lord had made to the house of Israel failed. Everything came to pass. Second promise, God is compassionate. Psalm 145, verse 8. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The third promise, God designed me for a purpose, Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in it. The fourth promise, God loves me deeply no matter what. Romans 8:39 tells us, nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God. Number five, God gives me power for my life. 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Promise number six, God's presence brings joy. Psalm 16:11. You will make known to me the way of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. Number seven, God will fill me to overflowing with hope. Romans 15:13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. The eighth promise, God will strengthen and help me, Isaiah 41, verse 10. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will also help you. Promise 9, God will give you wisdom, James 1, verse 5. But if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God, who gives all generously and will be given to him. Promise number 10, God promises you an abundant life, as was spoke earlier today, John 10:10. Says the thief comes to steal and kill and destroy. I came so that they would have life and have it abundantly. Promise 11, God has a plan for my life. Jeremiah 29:11, we know that, for I know the plans that I have for you. Promise number 12, God can be trusted. Hebrews 10:23. Let's hold firmly to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Now, I chose so many promises in hopes that one or more might resonate with you and become a part of you, because I believe the days will come when we will need them. It's important. I'm going to close. Second Thessalonians 2:16 says, now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who has loved us and given us eternal comfort and good hope by grace, comfort and strengthen your hearts. Let's glorify God in all that we do, church. Let faith in him be our guide. And when we're going through some trials, think about the bigger picture and God's plan in it all. as we look at what's going on out there in the world, and I mean it's hard not to. We can be quick to draw conclusions, and how many of those conclusions are positive and uplifting? How many are not? Are we looking with the eyes of faith that God has his hand in everything? And you know what? I'm speaking to myself too here. God was preaching to me while I was putting this together. Did God put us in this world for us to live comfortably, or is there a greater purpose to this life? The greater purpose is always and will always be people. God cares about people. And believe me, he cares about you. But when it comes to what we focus on, we have time that we can focus on ourselves, yes, but it can't be all that we focus on. God wants us to focus on others. Does that sound scriptural? Acts 20:24, Paul said, "But I do not consider my life of any account as dear to myself, so that I may finish my course and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus." To do what? See, Paul's mission is our mission. To share the good news and our experiences in hopes to help increase faith in other people. How we respond to the tests and the trials will show if we really have faith or if our confession of faith is just worth. It can't just be words. David said in Psalm 71:20, "You who have shown me many troubles and distresses will revive me and will bring me up from the depths of the earth." That's a faith confession that is not just words. Can you see the heart of faith behind the words? David was obviously right in a trial. Confessing the Lord will help him. And like David, God uses us to be vessels that can be used for his glory. Not perfectly, because we can't do it perfectly, but doing our best with other people in mind. Where is your faith in the Lord this morning? And can it be shaken? Are we being good examples? The devil knows a person with faith is dug in and hard to shake. And hey, if you think you need more faith, all you have to do is pray and ask, like the disciples did in Luke 17:5. They said, "Increase our faith." So this morning, I just pray great blessings of faith for all of you, and that you receive a faith that can move mountains and amaze the world. Every one of us can do it. Amen? God bless you.